Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? We'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, call it what you want, either an extended PFW in progress or an abbreviated Patriots playbook. Either way, you've got the guys from PFW, Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart.
Can I call it the Andy Hart Show, joined by Eric Scalavino and Paul Perillo? You said I could call it whatever I want.
I wasn't talking to you specifically.
I was talking to
people who listen.
But not if you want me on it.
Can I call it Mr. Draft with Mrs. Draft and Grandpa Poopy Pants?
All right, maybe it was a bad idea to let people figure out what they want to call this thing for themselves.
Maybe you shouldn't have opened the show with that.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you were going to take us down that road so quickly. But
that's what I do.
That's what you are wont to do. Anyway, you've got the three of us for the next hour and a half on this podcast.
We need to break down the game in this show a little bit more than Fred would not allow us to do.
The
matchups.
The upcoming game?
Matchups.
Yeah, because we've put Buffalo in the past. It's all about open
right
now. Just like the players.
Let's talk about some matchups. Darren McFadden. Well, first of all, let's talk about a matchup that is the game within the game. Anybody who's watching should pay to see Logan Mankins, who's now returned to the practice field,
against
Richard
Seymour.
Sure. Two guys who are not only all-pro players, not only were they drafted in the first round by the New England Patriots, not only did they meet up on the practice field and scuffle a little bit, they also both play with an edge.
Mm-hmm.
Neither guy is opposed to necessarily kicking a guy while he's down or punching him in the nuts.
And as we saw from Mankins in Buffalo last week, he's not afraid to go absolutely ape.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
You know,
I don't know if you remember, he was rolling around in a, I can't say the word, but it's the number that comes after 68 and before 70 position on the field against the Chargers last week and didn't even get a flag. And there was nothing. There was two guys rolling around. In this league where Andre Carter gets a flag for, you know, performing his job, you're allowed to roll around on the ground fighting, but you don't get flagged.
Right.
I don't understand anymore. But those guys will do that, and I expect them to do that, but I also expect them to have good, clean football battles where you have a great guard versus a great defensive tackle who's looking to kill your quarterback and your running back. I think that is a fascinating... If I were whoever's doing this game, CBS and that crew, I would have a camera on them at all times.
I would imagine.
At all times.
Because that's been a storyline all week anyway for writers
on both coasts. No doubt. I want to see that every play. You don't have to show it to me, but make sure you're
rolling on it
so when you need to go to it.
Halftime or whatever you do, like a little sequence.
Give me the cut-up
or...
of those guys because that is a tremendous matchup. And I don't think there are actually a lot of them in this game. I think there's actually few and far between in this game.
One-on-one matchups, you mean?
Any kind of matchups. I think a lot of the matchups favor the Patriots. I'm not a big fan of this Raiders team. If Darren McFadden doesn't go for two Bills... I don't think the Raiders have much of a chance of winning this game. I don't think they have the consistency in the passing game. I don't think they have the ability to stretch the field and make plays down the field like the Chargers or like the Bills. Maybe a big play here or there. They do have fast guys. But I don't think there's a lot of matchups. Another one maybe would be the Mayo-McFadden kind of matchup. But that one's not as structured.
Mm-hmm.
You know every single play, Seymour and Mankins are going at it.
Yep.
Your right defensive tackle versus your left guard. Boom. Book it. It's there. So I think that's a tremendous battle to keep an eye on.
And it's rare to get a tremendous battle among the trenches that people will actually be interested in.
Certainly on the interior. I mean, most of the time you're watching the edge, the elite pass rushers kind of guys on the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nice, hardcore, Roger Goodell probably won't like it because this is all the stuff he's trying to legislate out of the game, actual man-on-man combat and physical play and all that. But to me, this is what football's all about.
Paul? Yeah. Well, you were gonna. We didn't want to shut you out there. You know, I know it's been sort of just me and Andy for the last 5 minutes, but you look like you were ready to say something.
I'm pretty sure it was just Andy.
You know what time it is now?
Yeah. Poop on Paul time.
Yep.
Some places you got to pay extra for that.
Oh, for God's sakes! Can you just have
is that a carryover conversation from the previous
side
show,
comment without it being?
No, I was just
dirty
thinking,
in any way.
Remember that scandal with Rachel Ray and supposedly her husband like that and paid
for
it?
Oh God, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't get it either, Eric. I've always said. I mean, if I'm paying extra, it's for a hot, big boobed blonde. It's got nothing to do with defecation.
Oh, God. The potential for extracurriculars with that matchup, though, is to me what makes
tremendous.
It, that's what
you
makes
know what
it
the worst
watching.
Case scenario is? The first play of the game, they both get ejected, and my matchup to watch goes out the window.
They just start swinging
and
right
all of a
away
sudden you got Ryan Wendell versus some Jag backup.
Well, but the Raiders, though, are kind of like the Patriots with their defensive line, where they have all of these guys that they like to rotate in and out on a regular basis.
It's with some names, too.
Yeah.
Similar in that you have not only have Seymour, you have the Tommy, right? They still have him, right? Tommy Kelly? Is it Kelly?
Tommy Kelly. Yep.
And they have
Moss. The Shaughnessy guy is coming
Shaughnessy,
in pretty strong.
A lot of people really like. I don't know much about him.
I don't either.
He's developing into a guy a lot of people like. But they have some names up front. Paul and I were talking about it. They're starting to come down the Andy road on Rolando McClain, that maybe he's just a guy.
Yeah.
That he's a fine middle line, you know, a guy.
Likes to,
but that he's not necessarily, I think they took him with the eighth pick or somewhere high up there in that range. And he's not that. You know, if Mayo is a step down from Willis, then McClain is a significant step down from Mayo in terms of guys that are top 10 or 11 middle linebacker, inside linebacker type picks. And they just don't have a ton of talent. I mean, they still have Huff. They obviously Asamoah's gone. Route, they gave some money, but he's not proving himself to be anywhere near the fill-in next in line to Asamoah.
Right.
He's not good.
And
not only that they're not very good in the secondary, but they're banged up a little bit, too. Is it Chris Johnson?
I believe it is Chris.
His name.
He confuses me every time.
Right. He left the game. He had an injury going into the game, and he didn't make it very far into the Jets game. I think it was a groin problem, so he'll probably be questionable on Friday when the final injury report comes out. So when you have a bad secondary, much like the Patriots situation, when you have a bad secondary and it's banged up, that's a bad combination.
Yeah, the difference for the Patriots secondary is they're going against Jason Campbell, not Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Jason Campbell is Mr. I'm not going to get sacked, I'm not going to throw interceptions, but oh, by the way, don't expect me to throw touchdowns either. I mean, if you remember whatever, I mean, it had been his last year in Washington. I think it was 07. Might have been 07. When Brady had like 35 touchdowns and Campbell had like four or something, and right now he's got three. I believe he's 3-1.
Well, that's
he's not
why
a guy
I
that's looking to make plays either way.
Someone wrote me and said, you know, the Raiders are better than you think, blah blah blah, and he said, you know, Campbell's got a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, and I started laughing just like Andy just did.
That's classic.
I mean, really? He literally has 3-1.
3-1.
You know, yes. Is it, you know, a 3-1 ratio? Yes, it is.
After game one, that's good. After game three, it's not.
Right.
Especially in this league where everybody and their brother's throwing for, you know, 400 yards a game.
And again,
he's a game manager.
It's one of those things where interceptions have never really bothered me a lot. And I know that you get made fun of for that when you say things like that. Tom Jackson, you know, was roasted for his comment about Brett Favre. You can't throw interceptions in situations when anything but an interception is okay. You know, it's the timing of it. That's the one that really got me out of the four that Brady threw was the one he threw to Gronkowski when they were a hair away from putting the game away. You can't throw a pick there, but you can't just sit there and say, I don't care, I'm not going to throw a pick, because what ends up happening is you don't make any plays. You have to sometimes just say, screw it. I see there's coverage there. I got to make a play. I need this conversion. I can't make the safe dump off and punt every single time.
Which, the whole Charlie Weiss thing way back when with Brady, no one ever lost because they punted. But a lot of people didn't win because they punted.
Right.
Right?
And listen, I'm not advocating it every time.
No.
You know, but there are times in a game when you have to say, a punt is not what we need here.
Right.
We need to make a play. We need to convert this third down.
On one end, you have Campbell.
Jason Campbell.
On the other end,
you
have Favre. And in the middle, you have good quarterbacks who know when the time comes. Rodgers and Brady and Mannings, they know they're going to throw some picks, but they're also going to make a lot of plays because they have confidence in their playmakers. That's another issue, is I don't think they have a ton of playmakers on this team. You know, even though Hayward Bay is a high pick, like the eighth or whatever pick in the draft, it was a terrible pick. He's a speed burner who's not a very good all-around receiver, should never have been a first-round pick that high. Moore has made some plays for them, but he's not proven. Ford is a burner, but he's not proven. Boss would probably be their best all-around weapon.
And they got a big boost from him last. That was the first game he played.
I actually think he's a step down, though, from Miller. I think he was a better all-around tight end.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you could probably make that statement.
Boss isn't the boss.
No, McFadden is their playmaker.
But he gave them a big lift last week.
That happens, though.
That was the first game that he played last week. He was hurt in the preseason.
But I don't think
they also have
that
your boy Chaz Shillens.
Great.
They don't have the playmakers.
They have one.
You know, and it's funny. They
run DMC.
All of their guys have big playability. They just don't have any consistency like you did.
Right.
Not proven, the way you put it. Jacoby Ford is a big play guy.
After the Miami game last year, Rob Ninkovich had big play ability. When was the last time he made a big play? He's not a big play guy.
Right.
He just made big plays. You know, there are guys who are big playmakers, and there are guys that just make big plays.
But it's also different, too, if you're a guy like Jacoby Ford. He may be a little bit more consistent. He might make, during the course of the season, 10, 12 big plays. But if that's all you're doing.
Right. Then
Bethel
Johnson.
That's not a huge impact on the season, you know, individual games and on the season. He made a lot of big plays for them last year. Now he's been hurt too, and he's I think he'll probably be questionable as well.
I think the most dangerous thing about the Raiders right now is just that they believe. They seem to like Hugh Jackson. The crowd is buying in. The team's buying in. Seymour's
leadership.
The black
hole's woken up again.
Yeah, the whole thing. I just think that's what makes them dangerous. They're at
it'll
home.
It'll be a hostile environment. And the last time they played there, it was not a hostile environment.
Well, that's because Jamarcus Russell couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
They were terrible.
It was a terrible team.
It was
late in the year.
The crowd was as much of a hindrance to Oakland as it was anything else.
When you literally watch your quarterback throw a pass where the guy is wide open and he misses him by 5 yards, there's nothing more deflating. I mean, that's like not completing passes against air. That's how bad it is.
The good news, though, this time when we're in Oakland in the press box, we'll be able to keep that window open, and the weather won't be a factor for us this time.
You hope.
It was in the...
You never know.
Those
cold, foggy breezes blowing off the bay.
So all of us were in the locker room today getting interviews from the players and whatnot.
Yeah.
The name McFadden kept coming up with all the players that we were talking to, mostly defensive players. Obviously. And Andy, you had a little line of questioning going with some of the players about big plays that have been being given up in the secondary and just in the defense in general.
They're all well aware of it. The general theme is there is no one overwhelming factor or common theme between them all. You know, there's a combination of things, and they just have to play better. They have to tighten everything up. That's tackling, that's technique and coverage, that's pass rush, and
at what point do you tell them they stink? We're doing everything we can and we just can't make the play. At what point do they finally accept?
But they won't, because right now the other overwhelming theme is they all believe they're a talented defense. They all firmly believe, like I think we did heading into the season, that they have added talent to this defense. It has not shown up in any numbers. I don't care that third down defense has gone from 32nd to 28th. They're a bad defense right now. They're giving up big plays. They're giving up plays on the ground. They're giving up plays through the air. There's no pass rush. There's no pass coverage. They are a bad defense, but they are of the belief they have talent on that team. They believe that some of the guys up front are talented. You know, Andre Carter tells Paul they're almost there. They're close. Well, what I asked is, are you close to being competitive?
Right.
Or are you close to being good? Because right now you're not really competitive.
Right.
You're a bad defense. And just getting to acceptable or competitive isn't enough. We wanted this defense to be complimentary. We wanted this defense to occasionally maybe win a game when Brady lays an egg, when Brady throws four picks, when, you know, somebody gets hurt, you know, all God forbid Gronkowski goes down. Win a game, play defense.
31 points last week should have been more than enough to beat the Bills.
Hell yeah, they're the Buffalo Bills, which by the end of the year, maybe they're the high scoring Buffalo Bills.
They very well could be, but that's not going to take away from the fact that the Patriots are a much better team.
And not taking away from the fact that they're underperforming based on their resumes.
Right.
Maybe we put too much stock in their resumes. Maybe they are all old and washed up and just not that good. But they aren't all.
In terms
of Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, Devin McCourty, they're all young. They should be getting better, not worse.
But in terms of the concern level, that's where mine lies right now. You know, you said...
That was where your hope level lied about 2 weeks ago.
Coming into the season... We thought they had added some talent to defense, right? As you just said.
Sure.
Well, 3 weeks into the season, having not seen a whole lot out of any of those guys they've added, I'm wondering if maybe age is a problem here.
The most concerning one is Sean Ellis, because he got paid the most money, $4.5 million, and he looks slow to me. He just looks flat out slow. And that's a problem.
Mm. The other thing at least the story I was working on this week was the running games. Speaking of complementary football overall as a team, specifically with the offense, the running game maybe not contributing as much as people would like or we thought they would at this point. We haven't seen any of Shane Vereen. What little we've seen of Stephen Ridley, I think, has been promising.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, Green Ellis hasn't really been carving it up like he did last year. He's, you know, found the end zone a couple of times, but he hasn't really been gaining chunks of yardage. Woodhead is still kind of what we thought he was, I guess. But at this point, guys, pretty soon there's going to have to be a decision made with Kevin Faulk when he comes off PUP.
Well, I mean, you can delay that up to week 12.
Well, you can, but I mean, wouldn't you have liked to have at least know what you have out of the guy who was supposed to be his de facto replacement in Vereen at this point? He's been inactive for 2 games. And
he hasn't proven he can't do anything. He hasn't proven he can do anything.
Yeah, I think that.
I mean, didn't we expect him to be slowed by the fact that he missed so much time in the preseason with no offseason?
Yeah.
Rookie running back. I mean, I think the
writing
was on the
wall. I actually think it's more about Woodhead anyway for that role. And, you know, as Eric said, I think that he's been a little quiet, but for the most part, he's been what we thought he was and what we expected him to do heading into the season. I think Kevin Faulk is insurance.
Yeah.
I think if you get a guy banged up.
That's a good point.
You use him. But, you know, like Andy said,
I would
said,
like
you
to
have,
at least know what we have.
But you have until week 12.
I know.
There's no rush. There's no rush to do it. I mean, you have a long time to wait. It can be as soon as week 7, and it can be as late as week 12. So, to me, there's no urgency there. I don't really see it as an issue.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, the email address, as it always is. 508-298-0398 is our ace ticket hotline. And we've got somebody on here right now, fellas. John from somebody's basement. John, how you doing?
No. I've escaped from the basement. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
It's John Rook, everybody, the host of Patriots Playbook.
The indisputable leader of the game. The most top gang.
GTC.
GTC, yeah.
How's Pittsburgh, buddy?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a cool today. Not exactly hot. It's cool. And, you know, putting out fires left and right, but we'll make it.
John is calling the South Florida at Pittsburgh game tonight.
Yeah,
college football broadcast.
We got any pro prospects in this game that I should keep an eye on?
Let's start with potentially. I don't know if he's going to be a quarterback at the next level, but fourth year junior B.J. Daniels for Pitt, USF at quarterback. I would say potentially linebacker Sam Barrington for USF.
What kind of linebacker, inside or out?
Pardon?
What kind of linebacker, inside or out?
He's actually an outside linebacker.
Good size on him, pass rusher?
6'3", 240-ish.
What's he run the 40 in?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the 40. All I know is that he does get to the ball. He has a nose for the ball. He's, you know, amongst the leaders in tackles for the team. So,
okay, I'll be keeping an eye on him then.
Pretty good job.
John, should I take it as a bit of an indictment on the Big East when Andy asked if there were any NFL prospects and it took you about 5 minutes to come up with a couple?
No,
I mean, South Florida is supposed to be the best the Big East has to offer, no?
Well, South Florida this year probably is, although I think West Virginia is still good enough to win the title. It'll probably boil down to when West Virginia goes to South Florida to play the 1st of December to decide the conference title. And I think the Big East has got plenty of talent. I just, you know, frankly, don't remember what year some of these guys are in school and whether or not they've redshirted or not along the way. So, you know, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to say, so-and-so could be a great pro if he's, if he's still just a freshman or a sophomore. I mean, you can tell, but too much can happen nowadays, before, a guy actually gets eligible for the draft.
JR, it sounds like the guys here, Paul and Andy, are of the belief that Oakland's offense isn't going to be able to hang around with New England's ability to score points. But you, yesterday on the show, were taking a different tack there. You want to maybe take these guys to task a little bit with your prediction for this, how this game's going to unfold?
The only thing that I think about this week that concerns me is that the Patriots' defense has shown us nothing. And by nothing, I mean they haven't been able to stop the pass. They haven't been able to stop the run, And frankly, if I'm Oakland, I'm ready to slug them in the mouth and, run McFadden right, McFadden left, McFadden around the end. So until I actually see the Patriots defense, lock somebody up and make a tackle, I'm not sure they can do it. Call me from Missouri. You got to show me here. So that concerns me. And that Oakland's going to do whatever they can to control the football, to keep the ball out of the Patriots offense's hand. That being said, I do think the Patriots will score, but if they don't have the ball for, 25 to 28 minutes of time, which they might not, depending upon how successful Oakland is at running the football, this is going to be a game. I'm probably going to, you know, upset some people with this, but right now I think Oakland 27-24.
Wow.
That's stunning.
You weren't expecting that.
I thought I had already read the end of this book, and that's not what I remembered. Wow, I am really surprised. But I don't. I mean, I understand the way that you think it could happen based on how you just described it. Maybe like one of those 40-20 time of possession games, where if the Patriots aren't dead solid perfect offensively, they could be in trouble. I just don't see a team like Oakland being able to do that. I don't see you being able to run the ball when the Patriots are saying, I know I have to stop the run. And listen, you're right. Show me. The Patriots defense hasn't shown me anything. And right. You've been able
and
to run
really
on them and pass on them. But
I mean, I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it in 3 weeks.
You're right.
So until we see it, I'm not sure how we can really make an educated guess.
Well, I am going to be apoplectic if they lose.
You got to have guys available to play, and you got to get when you have guys healthy and available to play, then they got to make tackles. Frankly, I don't think this team is a very good tackling team right now either, based on what we've seen the first 3 weeks. In all honesty, I don't know if it'll be a 40-20 type of time of possession. But anything that approaches that, the Patriots are in trouble. So just let's, you know, see how the first quarter unfolds. If Oakland has, you know, a decided advantage in time of possession, it doesn't bode well. Because you know the Patriots as well as anybody, how they're attacking people is by applying the pressure offense, which is flying up and down the field and, you know, potentially playing a little bit of that no huddle. But the problem is that you put your defense right back out on the field when you score quickly like that. And yeah, sure, you try to gas the other team, but, you know, what you're doing is you're also gassing your own defense at the same time, and they need all the help they can get. So I question the wisdom overall in a team aspect of, you know, flying the ball up and down the field when it's not helping the other half.
John, I know you were very concerned yesterday when I gave you the practice report and said Logan Mankins wasn't out there. It turned out he was suffering from some sort of illness. It wasn't specified. But he was back out on the field today. Does that make you feel any better or make you at all want to alter your prediction?
Yeah, it does make me feel quite a bit better knowing that you know, he'll be there because they're going to need that, I think, on that side of the line to, you know, block a guy like Richard Seymour. You know, Seymour's, you know, licking his lips on this particular matchup. And you know, Matt Light and Logan both know that they're going to have their hands full with this one. I don't think, though, that that's where the problem's going to lie. I think the problem right now is in the Patriots' defense's ability to, you know, button up Darren McFadden. I think that you know, if they come out and they do that, then, you know, I will be the first to say, hey, they did what they had to do to win, you know, next week when we get back on the show. But until I can see it, until I have some kind of inkling that these guys are capable of doing this, I have every reason to doubt that they can do it.
All right, and let me give you one other factoid from practice today. Mankins came back, but Albert Haynesworth for the second Thursday in a row, after practicing on Wednesday, did not appear for the early part that the media is allowed to watch today. So does that concern you at all as far as wanting to – did we lose John?
We lost him?
Oh, well. Cell phone reception in Pittsburgh. Must have driven through one of those tunnels.
Might be calling back right here.
Over the bridges, but – I know, Paul. You
were so long.
That's all right. I had enough of him anyway.
You
stunning prediction, though. No.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really, really surprised.
I mean, he was very pessimistic yesterday, but I didn't.
Yesterday.
He's back up there.
Okay.
He is. Okay, John. John.
Hello. Did I lose you?
Is this thing on? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on now.
All right. So Albert Haynesworth wasn't at practice today, after missing the last game with his back injury. Does that concern you at all if he's not able to go on Sunday? Because Paul doesn't seem to think it's an issue.
That directly attacks the problem I think the Patriots are going to have in being able to, you know, clog the middle, stuff the run, everything. You know, they need all hands on deck at this stage of the game, and I think it could affect them. Now, if somebody else comes in and picks up the slack a little bit, a guy like you know, Gerard Warren, who was re-signed again this week, then great. You know, and that could very well happen. But till we see it, that's all I'm saying is I kind of doubt it.
All right.
All right. Well, it's kicking off the Prediction Thursday with a stunner for those of us here. I knew you were, as I was saying to Paul, I knew you were a little pessimistic yesterday about this game, but I wasn't sure you were definitely going to pick the Raiders. And, you know,
I thought it was part of your contract from Fred to not be able to do that. But
oh, no. John picks against New England plenty.
Are you ever right?
I didn't read that clause. That must have been in the fine print. Nobody reads the fine print.
When you pick against the Patriots in the past, have you been right?
Actually, I think a couple of times last year that I picked against them, I was correct, yes.
Wow.
I think I went 13-3 picking the team, wins or losses last year. And I think on each, I'm trying to think of the times that I lost picking with or against the Patriots. I think one of them was a loss, but I think I picked, I'm pretty sure I picked both of the losses last year.
Oh, the Cleveland one would have been a stunner. I think you did actually pick Cleveland. Now that I think back on it, well,
I won't just dismiss it then. If you have some track record, I'll have to give it some credence.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you can blow me up next week if it doesn't happen too.
Well, we'll see you on Nitpick Tuesday.
Yes, exactly. Exactly the case.
All right, John. Have a good broadcast tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys, for holding down the fort. I appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure. All right, that's John Rook.
Have fun, John.
You can hear him tonight if you're tuning into the college football game, South Florida at Pittsburgh. He'll be calling that from Heinz Field, where we're going to be next month. The end of next month.
You get a mouse in your pocket?
What?
I asked if you had a mouse in your pocket.
Oh.
Be right here.
That's wrong. That's just wrong. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio at patriots.com. Kev, I think we're going to take a quick timeout here. And then when we get back, more of your emails and phone calls. Again, it's Prediction Thursday, so like John, if you want to go out on a limb, here's the place to do it. You can call us, you can email us, you can tweet us even if you're following us on Twitter. Let us know what your prediction is, but contribute to the program. We've got another hour of the Patriots Playbook with Paul, Eric, and Andy. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's is always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
As you heard, John's in Pittsburgh this week calling college football. You've got Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly. We'll get to the phone calls in a second.
Being stupid.
I think it's cute how you and John have it.
Hey, JR, you said yesterday on the show, you know, it's
ES over here.
What's your little hat say? Does it have a number, ES something?
Well, it's in the shape of a six. The E and the S are combined in a digital
and
six.
In your fictitious kicking career, is that the number you wore?
Oh, Paul.
Now, does he pretend you were a kicker? What kind of relationship do you and John have on the normal playbook?
We have a normal working relationship with two friends who've worked together
for
20
years. I didn't say it was more than a working relationship. I didn't accuse you of sleeping with him.
No, but we have an abnormal working relationship here, and
I think it's quite normal.
That's kind of
true. Not.
No, it's quite normal.
Screw you, bitch.
I have the same relationship with everyone.
Which is abnormal.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I have it with everyone, how can it be abnormal? It makes it normal.
It's abnormal for other people.
No, for other people. For
it's
you,
normal.
It's a,
for
it's
me.
A normal
for
relationship
you, it's normal.
For you.
Yeah, so it's normal.
But
for you.
Normal. But you're abnormal.
For you.
Normal.
For you.
Okay, why don't you go to the phones,
He's the only guy that during a break can say, don't worry, I'll just get stupid here. I'll make some time
go. Know.
And he follows through.
And
right.
There's more energy in this segment than we had in the first. Why don't you go to the phones, ES, from...
Yeah, we'll get there soon. We'll get there soon.
What other matchups do we have to talk about?
Killeen, Texas.
As opposed to Dirty Texas? I'd rather go to Dirty Texas.
Steve is from Killeen.
He really can make absolutely anything dirty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Steve, please bring some semblance of normalcy back to this show, please.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Is it really Killeen where you live?
Yeah, it's Killeen. Actually, Killeen sits in the shadow of a place called Fort Hood. It's
the largest
U.S. Army facility. And 2 years back in November, that's when it got its notoriety.
Yes,
unfortunately,
yeah.
What's
up, Steve?
That wasn't fun, Steve. You really dragged us down there.
Sorry.
Thanks for that uplifting story, Steve.
Nothing makes for a fun hour of football talk other than reference to guys going postal.
Hey.
Now, let's keep this call Killeen from now on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And fun.
It's going to be fun. First and foremost, I think the Patriots defense is going to open the orange, the Jones soda product known as whoop-ass on the Raiders with the D. I know Chung is still on the injury report with his hand, but if he goes, then what I'd like to see us do is, you know, McCourty has been questionable as far as coverage. Let's send him on a few blitzes for a change.
The old corner blitz.
Yeah, let the big guys shoot some gaps and, you know, roll the dice a little.
Might be a way to get his confidence up. Let him make us a couple plays.
You have to really be confident in your. In your protection back there to cover the guy that you're leaving alone.
And are
you?
Because I'm not.
And at this point, I don't know if I am.
Yeah, I'd feel a lot better about sending my best cover corner on a blitz if I had anybody that could cover anybody.
Because in all likelihood, that leaves Josh Barrett
having to cover
some bunghole back there. And I'm not overly happy about that. I would be concerned. Now, I get your theory. I like your theory. Mm. He's sucking as a corner.
Do something.
Let's let him make some plays, feel good. Okay, woo, the whole defense is playmaking. Mm-hmm. We're in the Belichick documentary. Everybody can meet him in the backfield. Everybody's feeling good, but they're not feeling good if you give up a 45-yard touchdown over Josh Barrett.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. But Yeah, you know, is it going to be 45 over Barrett or 75 over McCourty?
You do have to find a way to get some pressure on
you.
The
are rather negative, my friend.
Yeah, I'm positive.
Okay,
I want to see the defense bring the pressure.
Let me ask you a question. You're predicting the defense to open up the Jones Soto whoop ass. Is that going to be a proving point that the Patriots are getting better, or simply the Raiders stink?
I'm hoping it'll be a bit of both.
I'll let you know at about 7:30 on Sunday night.
Because it's always better to evaluate after the game.
Because I really think that they're going to focus on stopping McFadden, and it gets back to the old cliche, Belichick can take away one thing if he wants to.
That's how I feel about this.
But will you feel good about it later, about the defense? Ooh, they made some plays, or did they come up against kind of a one-man, one-dimensional team and have some success against them?
I guess the answer to that for me goes back to what I've been saying through the first three, and that's consistency. If we can consistently see some three and outs, if we can see some pressure and, you know, seeing the QB get smacked around a little bit more than usual, then I'll give a little bit more credit to the D than the fact that the Raiders are a little bit softer than, you know, projected.
Well, I'd take it even not consistent at this point. I'd take flashes first, and then
good defensive performance I would take no matter what it takes.
Because I think they've been pretty consistent. Just not for the
not
right
in a good
reasons.
Way. Not, yeah.
Yeah. The Lombardi quote, you know, winning is a habit, unfortunately, so is losing.
Yeah, so is sucking, right. Sucking is a habit.
So, yeah, I'm with you guys on that. And just as another aside, make sure if Pete Shepard's in that he gets you guys the wings, because the gallon of Dave's ultimate insanity is coming in honor of hopefully the Patriots bringing the heat this week, guys.
Yeah, I can't eat that. I'll pass that along to
Dave's
Paul.
Dave's ultimate insanity?
Yeah, that'll. I already have digestive problems, and that'll.
What is that? I'm not familiar.
It's hot ass sauce.
I'm not.
It's one of the hottest barbecue sauce, hottest hot sauces in the world, guys.
Literally hot ass sauce, though. Like it goes through your mouth, comes out your ass hot.
Is that like a nationwide brand thing, or is that just something Texas?
It's something Texas is noted
native.
For, but
yes.
Dave's, you can get anywhere. So.
Yeah. I bought it for my brother-in-law who loves hot stuff, and I got him one, and he was like, whoa, that's really hot.
Now,
it's not famous, Dave?
It's not just Dave's insanity. That stuff, you know, I'll put in chili. This is the next level up. This is the ultimate insanity.
Okay.
Which is kind of the definition of what happened with Buffalo. So, we'll just leave it at that.
Now, Steve, I if you heard the show yesterday, I brought John a bottle. He asked for a bottle of the hottest Anchor Bar wing sauce. Have you ever had that, and how does that compare to Dave's?
For this bottle of Dave's, the Dave's is probably going to be a little bit hotter.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what the Dave's is. I had the hot ones at the Anchor Bar, and they were so hot, you couldn't really even taste it.
Wasn't enjoyable?
This is hotter than that. This is one of those ridiculous, like, let's laugh at the guy trying to eat it.
Yeah, we got an order, you know, we got like a million wings at the Anchor Bar once, and we asked for a plate of
10-piece. I remember that.
Of the ridiculously hot ones, and you couldn't even eat it.
They have respirators and gloves on, guys, literally.
This is ridiculous.
Wow. And having worked in restaurants in my past, when you play with things like ghost chilies and habaneros, there is no option for that. You get that oil on your hands, it's going to burn.
Really? Yep.
This is stupid. Stupid.
It's redunculous.
Nothing will be clean after this.
No.
Certainly not
his
shorts.
Underpants, yeah.
Or the underneath of your toilet.
All right, Steve.
All right, Steve.
All right, have a great one, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Keep it clean.
We'll chalk up another W.
All right, thanks for the call.
Does he ever call? I really like him.
I've never heard him call before. There's a subtle difference, I think.
But I don't think so. I thought there would be, but he was laughing at my stupid joke.
There's a subtle difference, I think, with the audience.
I thought all the playbook people would have their nose in the air and be like Eric. Humorless.
That's
kind of
true.
You see now, Paul, I thought you were on my side.
Did I jump sides there?
You did, very quickly.
Was that quick?
Quick email before we get back to the phones. We've got, we were talking about Shane Vereen briefly earlier, Josh in Virginia. Did you guys see Vereen's Twitter message from yesterday? Quote, "You know the feeling when you're little and mom's lets you go outside and play and do whatever you want? That's how I feel at practice. LOL. Gotta love it. Makes me think," now this is Josh again, "makes me think we might see some interesting things from him on Sunday. What do you all think? Thanks, and F the Jets."
I wouldn't read too much into it.
Have
we learned nothing from Brandon Spikes' Twitter?
Well, but he's different.
Yeah, no, but I just was going to say that I've learned to not take anything I see from a player on Twitter.
Taylor Price has tweeted every week, "Sweet game day, best day of the week." Right. Mm-hmm. How would you know?
Wow, Andy really
very angry.
Just,
yes.
When I support someone and I feel like they let me down, it tends to
cut. You feel like a scorned lover right now.
18 of 19. It struck home last week when I added him up. I don't know why. I knew it in my head that he had missed basically his whole career. But when you really put it in paper and say he's missed 18 of 19 career games,
last week was
inactive.
I thought last week was a telling game because you knew you were going to be without Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
And you were going to need another guy possibly to contribute. Now, as it turned out, they didn't really need another guy to contribute.
Maybe they did. Maybe he catches that pass and the game unfolds differently. Thank you. No further questions.
My
Move
point
on.
Being
Email.
Is you put up 500 yards of offense and move the ball
and lost.
Very effectively.
Wait, I thought
the
Paul Perillo win-based formula was to look at the scoreboard at the end.
They did not lose.
Mason.
They did not lose because Taylor Price wasn't in the lineup.
Maybe they lost because the wide receiver didn't catch the ball in the end zone for a big play.
They lost because the quarterback threw four interceptions.
Maybe the quarterback
and the
performs differently in the butterfly
bleeps.
Effect theory when you catch the 41-yard bomb.
Well, Steve,
I'm Ron Jaworski, ESPN.
That was kind of Jaworski-like the way he was.
When I watched that game unfold, I had seen things I had never seen.
Let's go to the Tocha tape. How could he have never seen him? He supposedly watches all tape every week. It's only football. There's 11 on 11. They can only do so many things before the ref throws a flag and says that's not legal.
Now, Steve, from Killeen's idea was to send McCourty on some corner blitzes to try to just boost his confidence, maybe get a little something going from the defense.
Sure.
Logan from Indiana. Not Mankins. No, because he's from California and now he's
not
now
Light,
he's here.
Who is
no,
from
Light's
Indiana.
Light's from Indiana, but that's not him. This is Logan from Indiana. He says, I think the key to beating the Raiders is
Benny
week.
Went to Indiana for a while, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
for 2 years. There. Right, yeah.
Paul has so lost interest in us.
Logan's idea says the key to beating the Raiders this week is our pass rush specialist.
Kyle Arrington.
Right. If he can be the pocket collapser that Bill thinks he is, we will win easily.
But he's a different spin on that. Usually the pocket collapser is the big fat guy in the middle. He's like the little guy you can
take
out of your
around.
Pocket.
Right.
No, you take him out of your pocket and he collapses.
I see what you're saying. He's like a pocket protector.
He's little. You kind of sneak him out. They used to call me Pocket Hercules in high school, but that's a subject for a different thing.
Oh my God.
Just.
The fact that you would ever admit that publicly is...
Maybe Joe in Bridgewater, who's on the Ace Ticket Hotline, has a better idea for the pass rush. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
I have a little bit of a different take on the pass rush. A lot of people are saying that, of course, any quarterback can complete a pass if they're not having any pass rush. Well, I kind of see it as... the defensive backs aren't covering anybody. I mean, if you watch the first play of the Bills game, Fitzpatrick missed a wide-open receiver for a touchdown because the McCourty looked like he had no idea what was going on. But the pass rush, if the quarterback drops back three steps and gets a pass off, then the pass rush is not going to get to him. So it seems like the receivers are wide open, and there's not enough time for anybody to get there on a pass rush, even if they're unblocked.
I agree with you.
The receivers are so wide open.
I agree with you. It's half and half. I think they're both equally to blame for
this
debacle.
You
and Bill talks about
it
all the time.
On one.
Sometimes the rush is there and the coverage isn't. Sometimes the coverage is there and the rush isn't. They haven't done either very well, and they certainly haven't done either with any consistency. And that's why it's been so utterly bad. I think that's why it's been record-breaking type bad. Had any of it come at any time, they'd be somewhat better. And it just hasn't come at all.
Yeah, I mean, I rewatched the game, the Bills game on DVR, and I noticed that on a lot of the plays, defensive backs are right up until the ball is snapped. A lot of them look confused, and even spikes in the linebackers. So I'm thinking it's not as much talent, a lack of talent back there, but it just seems like they don't really know what's going on, and they can't really get themselves confident enough to just play because they're still kind of confused pre-snap.
Well, I think that might have been an issue last week, certainly with the safeties you had back there. You didn't have the guy who's your newfound calming force, and that's Patrick Chung. You had two guys who had, you know, Barrett was in his third game and Brown was in his first start, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You didn't have much to fall back on back there, and there may have been some communication issues. As much as they've all poo-pooed it, there may have been.
Well, I don't think they were all poo-pooing it. I think some of the defenders acknowledged that it could have been better. I mean, they're going to come right out and, you know, slam a teammate publicly, but
unless it's Sean Springs.
Well, that's a story for a different day. Yeah, we're not talking about him.
I think
do you guys happen to see that first play of the game? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about with McCourty at the bottom of the screen there.
Yeah, he threw to the top of the screen.
I actually, that's the first thing I tweeted out during the game.
Yeah, he had both guys wide open, but evidently, according to Eric, David Nelson was completely uncovered.
Completely uncovered going down the sideline, the right sideline. And he had his hand up. The safety was on the far hash, so he wasn't even in position to come over and help make the play. It would have been an easy touchdown if Fitzpatrick had just looked his way.
All right, guys.
All right, Joe.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, bud.
To me, the bigger concern is not just about communication issues, because that is stuff that can be rectified. I mean, you can figure out where your coverage breakdown. I see more so than anything else, guys just getting beat. You know, yeah. I think the coverage is where it's supposed to, you know, the person who's supposed to be covering somebody is there. And, you know, how many times you've seen McCourty just get run right by this year? It's been alarming.
All right. Well, that leads me to a question then. We hear the answer we've been getting so far this year from players is, you know, it comes down to technique. It's all about the technique in fixing this problem and getting beat. Or a two-part question then. Why wasn't McCourty's technique that bad last year when he was in position to make all of these plays? And what are they teaching him in this technique that it's completely turned around? What can he possibly be doing differently, technique-wise, that's causing him, and not just him, but he's the prime example. What is it?
Well, I'm not a coach. I don't think I'm qualified to say that, but it seems to me that he's trying to do a lot of bumping at the line of scrimmage and not getting it. I mean, it's, you know, that's part of technique. I don't think that he is, in other words, the touchdown to Chandler on Sunday, it looked like was a coverage breakdown.
Right.
I mean, obviously, as Bill said, we blew the coverage there. As he says, there's no defense designed to not have somebody covered. I didn't see that a lot. I saw guys, you know, Lee Bodden biting on double moves. Mm-hmm. That's technique. I don't know what the technique you're supposed, you know.
Well, I mean,
again,
is it technique or is he actually just being fooled?
Well, it's both. I mean, you can't get yourself into a situation where you give a guy that much cushion where if he makes a move like that, it's just natural. If you're covering a guy, you can't assume he's going to make a double move and just give him the first, you know,
give him the
10,
first
15
one.
Yards.
Right.
If he doesn't make a double move. So I think they need to be in better position to get physical and make plays. I think if you're backing off and getting beaten deep, that's really tough to understand. You know, if you're giving a guy a cushion and he's still getting by you, that's tough to understand.
So
I don't know what the answer is. I hear all this stuff about they're playing a lot of man this season.
Right.
They played a lot of zone last season. I don't ever assume that they're in one or the other when I watch the game, because I don't ever know when I watch a cornerback.
They can start off as one and then
well,
go
I see
into another.
I see a corner
pass off
a guy to a safety.
Right. Is that?
And you look and say, wow, the safety blew that because clearly McCourty thought he had help over the top there.
Mm-hmm.
And the safety wasn't there. Well, maybe McCourty blew it by passing the guy off.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. And I'm not saying that's a hypothetical. That
right,
didn't happen
right,
this
right,
season.
Right.
I just don't know how you can just blanketly assume, well, whatever you see is what it is. It's not always that way. And without knowing what the calls are, it's hard to know for sure exactly what they're asking them to do. And let's face it, we're not football coaches.
No, but I don't know. I guess I just wonder whether or not they overuse this word technique if what they really mean is it's a mental breakdown. Because like you said, you're not expecting a guy to make a double move usually. You're not going to surrender the initial move. So is that just more of you're not concentrating, you're not thinking properly on it, on what you're supposed to do?
I think of mental breakdowns as more as, you know, like they were talking about with the communication with, you know, okay, we got in and out coverage here and one guy plays it that way and the other guy doesn't. That's what I think of mental breakdowns and whatnot. To me, if you're lined up on the guy you're covering and he beats you with a move, that's a physical breakdown. Whether it's the way you're describing and you bit on a fake and mentally you weren't where you were supposed to be, but to me that's a physical breakdown. The other guy beat you with his move. And I've seen more physical breakdowns than anything else defensively this season. I haven't seen a lot of guys just uncovered, you know, where you say, I mean, like, for instance, I thought Welker a couple of times on Sunday was just completely uncovered.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely was.
You know, there was no one, you know, it wasn't like they had a linebacker trailing him and he outran. No, there was nobody covering him.
Right.
On at least two occasions that he made big plays.
All right, back to the inbox. We've
welcome
got some...
back to the show, Andy Hart.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Roll.
Are you tweeting over there?
No.
What are you doing?
I continued to talk because you were reading Twitter.
Oh, I was. I was looking at some sneakers online, too. I had a nice chat with Donald Thomas.
Are you still obsessed with those things?
Well, they're $160 for anyone who cares
to
know. Ken
Griffey
Jr.'s sneakers from
Nike.
Rookie
card?
Their new one. No.
Ken Griffey
Jr. Oh, and I'm going to throw in a Mark McGwire rookie card.
No, Ken Griffey Jr., Nike has gone through this nice trend where they're bringing back, bringing back all the old sneakers. And in my heyday, I used to wear the Bose and the Dions and the Ken Griffey. I loved them. The cross trainers. And I said, I've been wearing running shoes for a long time now because I run, but I want a pair of just sneakers for casual and, you know, casual
come
Friday.
To the office.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Plus, the running shoes stink after you run a few times.
Those are the shoes you run with?
Not these. I used to run with these.
Oh.
When I stop running in them,
they
become my casual sneakers.
But they're already worn out.
They're already worn out and stinky. So I want to get a pair of just casual. But I went to the Providence Place Mall. Every sneaker I liked was $160. And I was like, I ain't spending $160. But I was talking to Donald Thomas about it.
Well, why didn't you go up to rent them?
They suck. Everything that ends up in rent them in the Nike outlet's either ugly or stupid. So I don't like those. Because everything that's any good sold in the real stores.
And you have rules.
It's only the crap that's left in rent them. So I wanted something nice, and I didn't want to pay. And he had them in his locker.
So
Donald Thomas.
I saw you chatting.
I was talking about him. He said they're comfortable. He got them in Detroit for $120 because, quote, there's always a recession in Detroit. So apparently, you can get things cheap. No offense to any of the Detroit people out there. But so he said you might want to look online. I think you can get them for cheaper than $160. Well, I found them on East Bay. Some of the pairs are the various. Some are $160, but I guess the less popular ones. They have a nice baby blue and white pair for $79.99 that I may just have to order because they are sweet.
Wow!
And I also told Donald Thomas, you can afford those. You make more than I do.
See, I thought Andy was trying to chat him up for a story. Maybe he's doing trying to get an O-line thing going on.
What story would I write about Donald?
Well, we were joking about it.
Wow!
We were walking down.
I was insulting Detroit, the player, everybody.
We were walking down, I was joking with him. I said, you know, I'm watching you talk to Donald Thomas, and I'm thinking to myself, could he possibly be talking to Donald Thomas?
The only thing I thought was Jordan Todman connection.
And one of the things that I couldn't possibly, you know what?
That could have been
that,
one.
That was plausible.
That wasn't it. No.
Just sneakers.
But he had already told me, you know, sneakers, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm racking my brain, and you're talking to him about sneakers.
I'm trying to do a better job as a reporter just talking to players about anything that pops into my head as opposed to simply important stuff that I'm writing for a story. Like I asked Rusty Benson today about Rusty Benson. That, if for anyone who doesn't know, is Ross Ventrone's Twitter handle and nickname. And it apparently goes back to his brother and his brother's friends calling him that in the sixth grade.
Ray would have been a good guy to talk to today because I used to talk baseball with Ray a lot. And
maybe you can do so with Ross.
Today would have been a good day to talk
baseball. So I I chatted up Devin McCourty, asked him if it even crossed into his mind to not tackle Fred Jackson, and he said no. You know, that place in the field, the 40-yard run.
See, now that
you don't think of it.
That highly relevant.
They're all relevant.
No,
if I think of
them. Sneaker talk, not relevant.
If I think of them, they're all relevant to me. And that's all that matters.
That's why everything's normal to him.
Exactly. Read an email.
Proceed.
We should, if he's around later on in the season, maybe we should do a getting to know with Rusty Benson. Yeah. Find out a little bit more.
But he also jokes. I don't know if you follow him. He's got like Gronkowski, like some of the teammates get involved. And sorry, we're not accepting applications to Benson U or Rusty Benson U. It's this whole
privileged club kind of thing.
It's this whole character that he's created, which if you look at him, he's a character in and of himself. He's a 5-foot nothing long-haired NFL safety who, you know, barely could make the Villanova team, and now he's, you know, in the same
opening kickoffs against the Bills.
Right. I mean, the Ventrone family story. Well. The Ventrone family story is remarkable.
They have bloodlines, as we heard, remember?
Yeah, but when your bloodline is Russ, and you're Ross.
Ray.
Whatever. Maybe there's another one, but that's ridiculous. That's not exactly Matthew Slater, who had Hall of Fame bloodlines, even though that's irrelevant
literally.
As well, since one's a tackle and one's a kick coverer.
All right. We've got predictions that are starting to roll in. On Prediction Thursday, Steve from Albany. Hey, Eric, Paul, and Andy. My prediction for this game?
Pain.
34-13 Patriots. I think Brady is coming out pissed off this week and hell-bent on destroying Oakland, if for no other reason that they are the next opponent. I think this first-place offense will put up big yards against the 28th-place defense. I don't think the first-place run team will be able to run up many yards on this 10th-place run defense, especially with Warren back on the roster. They're really the 10th-ranked run defense?
If you go by average per carry, I'll bet you they're in the,
I know, it's just
the low 20s.
It just seems incongruous. Anyway, furthermore, I don't think Campbell will do
much
through
the air. I don't know about
that,
but it doesn't go together.
Right.
Yeah, and that too. I don't think Campbell will do much through the air with the anticipated pressure. Well, it'd be great if they get some pressure.
If he anticipates pressure, then he's more of a moron than I think he is. Because there won't be any.
The Patriots will make
him happy after this email.
Right. Patriots will
wait,
make
but he has him blowing him out.
Yeah,
right?
34-13. Patriots, right.
Oh, yeah. No, he's saying that all these things are going to happen. I mean, the fact that we're like parsing every word.
Yeah. He says the Patriots will make Campbell feel uncomfortable in the pocket, and he anticipates 2 field goals and a touchdown by the Raiders. They won't get that far in the red zone. Steve in Albany.
Okay. I like his positive thinking. It's a good juxtaposition with John Rook.
Speaking of, Josh in Virginia, who emailed earlier, is calling Rook out for claiming that he predicted the Cleveland game last year. He says, just listen to Rook's prediction from November 4th, 2010, before the Browns game. He's full of bleep me there. He picked the Patriots to, quote, roll over the Browns at 51 minutes and 32 seconds in, right after Kevin said something about how many were predicting a hard-fought victory for the Patriots instead.
Might he have been talking about the 2 Jets games?
Maybe. I think he at least picked 1 Jets game.
I can't remember anybody, last year picking, saying that Cleveland had a sniff in that game.
I don't know.
Well, I brought up it could be a trap, and Fred poo-pooed.
Well, a trap is one thing, but, you know, picking them to lose the game.
I'm pretty sure when I picked, I picked the Patriots to roll, but I think there's a chance they could lose. Paulie!
Alright, Paulie in LA, you're next on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's up?
Oh, wow, you're so skilled at that. First of all, I like the 4-hour Thursday.
You're being facetious.
I think
I'm gonna have to smack you.
What's that?
What's that now?
I like the 4-hour show on Thursdays. I think that should be a regular staple.
Yeah, well, do you subscribe to the paper, Paulie?
No, I subscribe to the iPad application.
Oh. Well, then you wouldn't get a paper if we had to stay down here for 4 hours every Thursday. This is really cutting into our production, and I'm going to blame you when my wife asks, why are you doing work at 10 o'clock tonight at home?
I think you need to start blaming yourself, Andy, and stop blaming other people.
Oh, suck it, Paulie.
Yeah, look in the mirror.
Paulie, I
point that finger right back
more,
at yourself there, big head.
And Andy, you know, since you opened up a can of worms... Stop saying no further questions. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Oh, okay, whatever. Why can't I say no? Are you a lawyer?
No, God forbid, no.
No, I'm not allowed to say no further questions? No further questions.
No further questions after a statement is saying I have no further questions after making a statement? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, but you don't rest your case either, because when you rest your case, it's over.
Yeah, I don't want to rest my case.
It's when you're done with one witness and you say no further questions. I got nothing else for this
But
guy.
I'm one of those lawyers who doesn't ask questions.
Vinny would say.
Right. I'm the lawyer who doesn't ask questions, and the judge has to strike it from the record.
Right. And the questions you ask, you already know the answer
but
to.
But you can't,
Paulie.
But you can't actually strike it from the record, because once the jury hears it, they've heard it. You can't erase their brains.
Exactly.
It's not Men in Black.
So you're better off just saying it and poisoning their memory.
Speaking of Men in Black,
that,
Pete Shepard in the house.
Can you imagine what it would be like to show up and your defender at a public as a
Can you imagine if you were
defendant.
If you were on trial for murder
and
in Andy,
you would win. Thank you very
Andy
much.
Andy showed up, I'd be
no
like,
further
oh
questions.
My God.
No further questions.
I'd be like, Andy's my lawyer. Wait a minute. I got stopped for jaywalking. Why am I going to prison? What
Andy,
am I doing?
Andy would start yelling at the judge, and he would talk over him, and he would try to take
no,
the gavel away.
No, you're out of order.
Right.
He would come up with every...
You're in contempt. You're contemptuous.
With every trial, like, cliche that he could come up with, he'd be like, no. You're out of order. This whole goddamn courtroom's out of order.
Kevin, you gotta rip that Al Pacino rant where he freaks out in the courtroom. Hey, let me ask you guys a question because of my football ignorance. What is the difference, or how is the pass rush different in a 3-4 versus a 4-3?
Well, I think it depends on whether it's one gap or two. First of all,
primarily in a 3-4, one of the outside linebackers is coming. In a 4-3. The two defensive ends are part of the four-man rush. Everybody assumes that, generally speaking, most teams are a four-man rush unless they drop an extra guy and just rush three, and that's actually why people note when, they only rush three there, because it's as
abnormal.
Equally out of the norm as it is to blitz. But that's the difference, is generally in a 4-3, unless you run a zone blitz or whatever and drop a guy, those four guys up front are coming, and everybody else in the back end, the back seven, is covering.
Okay, so... In football ignorance, in understanding how the safeties, do the safeties or the corner blitzes have anything to do with how that rush or how the pass rush is affected by it? In other words, do any of the corners or the safeties come in to support that or no?
For the...
In a 4-3?
You mean more easily in one or the other? I would say no. I think you can opt to send a corner or a safety in any scheme.
Right. It's all about
what you want to do.
Right. Rolling
and
it, dropping guys.
I mean,
you
make
can,
up for it.
That's where all the scheme, that's the million different coverages that they throw at a quarterback and what he thinks is coming and what isn't. And that's why it's so successful when a DN drops into coverage. The safety vacated that space. He thought his hot read was wide open. Oops, there's a defensive end there for an embarrassing interception. Those are all the crazy little gimmicks that these defensive coordinators get away with.
Okay, so do we have anybody who in that 4-3 rush that quote unquote is that person per se, or our fastest person on the corner
to rush or to drop into the zone vacated?
The rush.
No, they've sent guys. I mean, they've sent Chung. They've sent. I haven't seen as much with Barrett and Brown, but they used to send James Sanders a lot.
Yep.
They've sent corner blitzes with Arrington, both as a rusher or out of the slot.
Now, Will Height was here.
Will Height did it a few times. Yeah,
I mean, they send a bunch of those guys.
Rarely, I think we've seen
success.
Bodden. Oh. No, well, success. Yeah, but I think once in a while,
you need
Bodden,
to fool
but
them.
Not really.
When you do that, you need to fool the offense, because if they know it's coming, or even if they don't know it's coming, but they recognize it in time, chances are they're going to be able to block a defensive back.
Right.
It
certainly would be a shock if McCourty did it, I think. The problem,
that's why everybody wants to do it.
Right, but the problem is, like we talked about, we're not confident that he has the help back
there. There was
to
a huge one
back
in 08, and I don't mean to just say, oh, remember the one time, but Merriweather had a huge game-saving
one.
With
Paul. Yeah. In Seattle.
And
San Francisco, we had.
The Seattle one was the one that saved the game that I remember.
And there was, what was the season where everybody wanted it, and then they did it late? Was it the Delph O'Neill season? Where everybody was saying, you gotta be more, you can't stop anybody anyway, to be more aggressive, and then they started getting up even more big plays over the top.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what
Bill
year it was.
Bill got a little snooty about it too, if I recall.
Yeah. So, I mean, the bottom line is if the guys can't make plays, whether you send them, don't send them, that's why I get back to the whole thing at the beginning. It's just guys, even the rare times that they've done the blitzes, I used to make fun of James Sanders, because he would see the back, and he would just slow down and play patty cake with the back. Do his Bobby Hamilton pass rush.
And they haven't blitzed a ton so far in the first 3 weeks, but they have blitzed, and it hasn't been very successful.
No, this year I've seen Brandon Spikes. They've tried some of those, you know, famous A-gap blitzes, and Brandon Spikes runs into a guard or a
Mayo center. Got picked up last week, and then right in the area that he came from on the big play to lose the game.
I don't necessarily think it's just a lack of creativity, but for some reason when you see other teams do that, seems like more often you get a runaway rusher, a guy gets free, something happens, a guard and a center go one way, and whoop, the middle linebacker's untouched up the middle. I can't remember the last time when that's unfolded that well for the Patriots.
Anything else before we let you go, Paul?
I feel like Spikes has done that once or twice in a, like running into the gap and catching a guy, making a run for it, but I feel like that was last year or, you know.
Well, no, I'm talking 2 weeks ago in San Diego. They probably blitzed him a half dozen times, maybe not quite that many, and he got picked up every time in the pass rush. So I don't know why other people seem to, when they do that, when Bart Scott does it, he gets free. And when Brandon Spikes does it, he doesn't. I don't know if it's Spikes. I don't know if it's Belichick. I don't know if it's the guys up front not running the games quite as deceivingly.
Deceptively.
Well, I think if you're going to say that, it's got to be the person. They can't. In the end, it's the man on the field, no?
Well, yeah, but you're also setting things up. If you're running slant fronts and then you run a blitz off the slant front and the offense was used to two or three slants in a row. I mean, there's trends in every part of the game that they pick up on, whether they intentionally do or not. And there's a lot of stuff that's done to set people up. I don't see enough tape. I don't see the coach's tape to know exactly what they're doing on every play, what the call is. But I think there's an aspect of cutting stuff, you know, setting stuff up in there, just like in any other aspect of the game.
All right, well, thank you, gentlemen, and
talk
to Jets.
Thanks for the call, Paulie.
No further questions.
As we were just talking about that, the Bills and Patriots game is being replayed on NFL Network, and McCourty just gave up that touchdown to Stevie Johnson.
to the inside move. Andy. See, that's what I was talking about. It's, you know, you could say it's mental, but he knows the guy he's covering, and he goes inside. Johnson goes outside. He's 5 yards in the clear on an 11-yard route.
Are you guys noticing this too? It seems to me like last year, McCourty, I don't know, maybe instinctively turned for the ball.
You mess up too sometimes.
When it was in the air a lot more, and he's not doing that this year.
Because he's catching up. Last year,
he's
he was running stride for stride, hip to hip. Mm.
Further out of position.
Fluid. Now he's a chicken with his head cut off trying to catch up, and when you do that, you get beat because you're not calm, cool, and everything we raved about him for last year,
It's just the opposite.
Down the toilet, out the window, however you want to call it, isn't there.
It's frustratingly
alarming.
Inexplicable.
Alarming.
Yeah. All right, we've got more emails. Calls are still coming in. We're going to take one more quick break, though, before we end the show, and we'll come back. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline here on Patriots Playbook.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Patriots Playbook winding to a close here. The last
more like,
I don't know, last 20 minutes here. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's Prediction Thursday, and predictions are flooding
in. The faster I can talk to.
Oh, my God. It's just... You've been doing this for almost 4 hours today.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hart. You're in contempt.
I got another hour to go.
Energy?
I didn't, but... Okay. Do people really take those? You see those commercials where the guy gets up in the morning
and is a mess, and then he just drinks that?
Do people
that
really do
great?
That? Like, do they have a cupboard
that
stocked with
healthy.
Them? No. No, I
on
drink
a daily
coffee,
basis.
So,
on
but
a
I
daily
drink
basis.
Coffee, so I don't know if...
Do you every day?
For the most part.
Really?
Yeah.
You're one of those I can't operate in the morning without a coffee?
No, I just like the taste of it.
Why does he laugh at that? Why does he laugh at that?
It just sounded funny when I said it. I don't know.
All right. We're going to get to predictions momentarily.
I didn't take any. Do people take that? It's just like a running stream of consciousness.
But do they? Like, that
I don't
apparently,
know. I don't know anybody.
Are like coffee everywhere is accepted.
I don't know anybody that takes it.
But you see a lot of kids there are a lot at of the gym different products drinking now. The rock stars. And right. Remember Kyle used to always drink those? He worked here for a while.
Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
I wonder if there's a group of people that gets up every morning and drinks a 5-hour energy.
There must be, because there's a market for all of these different
they're not cheap,
brands
right?
that are out there. I don't know. I've never
I think
purchased.
Those are relatively expensive.
I don't know.
I mean, I just wonder if...
And are you watching any of the new television shows at all?
I missed my new show that was going to be
The New
my,
Girl?
Yeah,
I forgot
to
DVR it.
Me
was
too.
It on again?
What is
it?
Girl?
Monday
oh,
or Tuesday?
Is that the Zoe one?
Yeah, it was on right after Glee, so I saw the first 5 minutes of Overrun from my wife's Glee taping, and it looked like it was going to be really funny, and gone. It's funny. It's
I
a good show.
I haven't seen that one. Is that on, what night is
it on
that
on? DVR. It's Monday or Tuesday, right?
What night's Glee on?
I have no idea.
Eric?
I don't... Just can you check on that, Kevin? What night the New Girl with Zoe Deschanel is on?
What else are you watching? Are you watching anything new? I watched Revenge.
I haven't really...
You seen any Revenge?
Oh, but I knew you would watch that, by the way. I knew. When I saw the commercial, I literally turned to Dieter and said, Paul will watch that.
You know what's funny?
Because it reminded me of that miniseries you watched for a while.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of them that I got hooked on. But when I watched the commercials
of
this,
I
immediately
about,
thought, that looks so stupid, I have no interest
in it. So I know you better than you?
Right? So I didn't... I didn't watch it, but they replayed the pilot last Saturday night. And, you know, in general, when you hit a certain age... Saturday night is no longer fun night. It's just kind of like, let's wind it down here and watch whatever's on TV. I watched the replay of the pilot.
I'm not sure it's age. I think it's
Tuesdays, Eric.
So
Tuesdays.
Beth said to me that the girls at work said that they watched that and it was pretty good. We had missed it. So, all right, let's watch it. About 20 minutes in, she's reading a book. She's kind of half paying attention and goes to a commercial. It's like the second commercial break. I looked. I go, I'm hooked. I'm in.
Yeah, I knew so that was something. That
I
was
watched
up
it
your
last
alley.
Night during the commercials of all the baseball games.
Wow. Who's on that show?
I don't know
anybody.
Any
names?
I don't think anybody. No,
I don't think any names or really? Anybody that you'd recognize. It's cheese. I mean, it's a soap opera.
That's why it's spelled P A U L.
Yeah, but usually they have hot chicks on, and this one doesn't.
Four words,
really?
Paul.
And you're still intrigued?
Yeah, it's a good story so far. I don't know how they're going to sustain it because the premise is that she was like. Her father got scorned by all these rich people when she was really young, and she's now an adult
for
coming back, and she's out for
kill
revenge.
Them, right. Right, yeah.
She's not going to kill them. But
I thought she killed them.
No,
no,
she's destroying them,
like destroying their lives and
yeah,
finances and whatnot.
I don't know,
whatever.
Paul. Most people assumed you couldn't get multiple series out of one 24-hour day, and they did that.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Stretch it out over months.
Yeah, they. If we're going to,
I also
spin...
watched Suburgatory last night.
No interest.
Not bad.
You watch anything.
No, I just, to me, it's all about timing. If there's like, if I'm just happen to be sitting around and something pops on, I'll watch it. It's not like I said, oh, I want to watch that, and that. Like, you guys intentionally sought out
watch
that.
The Zoe show.
That
I show.
Would want to watch that if I
right?
can remember.
Now, I didn't intentionally not watch it. I just didn't happen to catch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't intentionally
I just
watch
it,
anything.
The DVR. Same thing with South Park. I've missed so many South Parks because I forget to set the damn...
Although in this day and age, half the stuff is on Xfinity On Demand. You can go to the networks and watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I downloaded HBO Go last night. Big fan. Can watch anything. It's tremendous for my iPad.
Did you ever figure out who that Virginia Tech safety was?
He's going to even forget what we're talking about.
No, but it just kind of came into my head.
Well, I just saw Virginia Tech highlights, and it reminded me of it.
One last quick thing while we spin off the axis before we get back to, you know, our job and talking football, Patriots, and predictions.
Really?
Eric, have you seen the commercial for the new movie about the prisoner of war who is turned, quote-unquote, and he's going to try to, I guess, blow up the Capitol or the White House or something?
No.
It looks
it looks
intriguing.
Framingham?
And there's a woman. No.
Did you see that story?
I don't think he was a prisoner of war. No, this was a thing. He's a prisoner of war. He's like John McCain. I mean, he's like celebrated.
Yep.
And the idea is he's being celebrated, which means he can meet the president.
Access,
he can
and,
get, he's
right.
going and he's going to somehow turn into a terrorist.
So he got brainwashed or
but
something?
And one woman is like the CIA agent who had one person tell her, like, the snippet was American was turned or something, or POW
and she had
turned.
To figure out it was him.
And this, all this, but it looks intriguing.
Yeah.
I'm interested by it.
All right.
I might watch it.
Give it a look.
I know you're a big movie guy.
I like movies. Love movies.
You're a big, you know, you take all your dates to the movie.
I knew there was something coming, Paul, but I didn't realize he had to buy a train ticket and then switch to get over there.
Do you go to the movie theater by yourself or just watch them on demand?
No, on demand.
Yeah, okay, good. You just earned bonus points with me.
Okay, great.
You still haven't crossed that line.
You got that going for you.
You haven't crossed that line where you go to the movies by yourself.
No.
You should never go to the beach by yourself either. You should bring a friend.
Always bring a friend when you go to the beach by yourself, as Fred once told us. And don't drill for oil if you're bringing
a friend. And the best time to run a draw is out of an empty backfield.
Yeah, and the best
time. Fred told me that.
Predict a season is at the end of it.
Right.
Josh, we got to go back to Josh. I don't normally like to go back to the same emailer this many times.
Is Pitbull Josh?
He's a lawyer. The Josh from Virginia, who's emailed twice already in the show.
He's a lawyer?
He's a lawyer.
This proves anybody can pass the bar.
Senior special project attorney,
you
apparently.
You think a lawyer would be able to figure out the difference between blue and green?
And he
you
says,
think a lawyer would know it's not a good idea litigiously to have a frickin' pit bull.
Litigiously.
That word he uses
yes,
properly.
Right. Did I? Because I wasn't sure. I thought I was going to get a Brooklyn Matt next
Josh,
line.
Josh wants to correct us on no further questions. He says the dramatic statement of no further questions is something you usually see after an attorney finishes cross-examination of an opposing witness where he asks a damning question and the witness has to answer it with a yes or no.
That's how I usually use it, isn't it?
And that's exactly what I said.
But isn't that what I usually do?
Because I said when you rest your case, that means you're done.
Right.
Not with the witness. You're done with your case.
Right. He continues, those are the rules for cross-examination. Attorneys can ask leading questions requiring a yes-no answer only, and witnesses are generally supposed to answer in yes or no, even if they want to say more to explain themselves better. Attorneys can ask...
to me all the time.
Right.
Yeah, that's when I start yelling, no further questions, Your Honor, strike it from the record.
Exactly. Attorneys can ask that damning question and then follow with no further questions, cutting off a witness trying to explain himself after being burned. Then the attorney can ask the judge to instruct the witness to shut his pie hole as a yes or no answer was all that was required. And yes, I'm a lawyer.
Wow.
So there we go from Josh.
So you'll defend
Virginia.
Yourself when your dog eats a kid.
Leave Josh alone. He's all right. He's good people.
All right, we've got game predictions.
I didn't say he was bad people. I said his dog was bad people. And
his
generally,
dog is bad people.
Generally, people with big, vicious dogs like that have small, you know what?
Trucks?
Brains?
No, they usually have big trucks. Or fast sports
true,
cars.
Yeah. Hands?
Right.
No.
Gloves?
No.
Game prediction from Dave in West Virginia. Hey, Eric, Paul, and Pocket Hercules, Mr. Draft T-Rex Arms Big Head. That's all with the
Pocket Hercules.
Dashes in between.
Pocket Hercules.
The way I see it, the Pats take it on the chin in the black hole. The Raiders believe they can just win again and think Seymour owns Mankins and gets to Brady and the Bills. We'll try to run more and we'll just...
That would be more stunning.
We just can't run.
That would be more stunning to me, I think, than the loss would be if Seymour absolutely owns Mankins. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
I think if they had the ball run down their throat and they lost because of that, that would be more stunning to me than anything. Like
I'm not so sure about
you
that.
You could sell me on they're going to gear up for the run, and the Raiders have a brilliant game plan where they pick and choose their spots with Jason Campbell, and he, you know.
Play action. And
maybe only throws 20 times, but he throws for 280 yards
hits,
and three touchdowns.
That could happen.
That wouldn't be stunning to me if that happened. I don't think it will, but that wouldn't be stunning to me. It would be stunning to me if Darren McFadden runs the ball 25 times for 180 yards, and that's how the Raiders win the game. That would stun me.
I won't be stunned. I think this defense is terrible right now. Mm-hmm. I have little confidence.
Can't imagine a team saying, we're going to run the ball, we dare you to stop us, and the Patriots can't stop them.
But McFadden is running really well right now.
I think McFadden's excellent. You're the one who thinks he stinks.
No, I said I was wrong. although he's
the other one that thinks he gets all his yards before the contact.
That's fact, not opinion. That's ESPN stats and information.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with me.
No, 500 of them.
Dave continues
with
his prediction.
Be that as it may.
He hopes he's wrong, but that's how he sees it. Traveling cross-country always is a setback for any team. Final score, Oakland 24, Pat 17. I hope to see the good Lord above. I hope the good Lord above. I'm wrong.
I hope to see the
talk
good
me
Lord
out of it.
Is that why you gave that face?
And is was Rooks, what was his score?
27-24. If it's 24-17, that would also stun me.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots offense is held that much in check.
Pack it up, pack it in.
Mm-hmm. Mike from Boston, stationed at Camp Pendleton, California, 4th Marine Tank Battalion.
Thank you for your service.
Winwood Bravo.
Hi, guys. Good to hear you back on the show. I'm not Coach Bill, and I'm not trying by any means to tell him what he should do for the team,
but I would honestly
like to see the Pats D play like they're out for blood this season. If they win this game, which I believe they will, then great. But as a loyal Pats fan for 30 years, I want the Pats to wade into the New Jersey paper airplanes.
Rowe? Aaron Rowe?
What about him?
Virginia Tech safety, was that his name?
Aaron something? Consciousness
Rouse.
Rouse. Aaron Rouse. I loved him. He was big like a linebacker, fast like a corner, and couldn't
float
play
like
him either.
Like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Aaron Rouse. I liked him.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead,
Let's get back to Mike from Boston via Camp Pendleton.
I thought it was like someone we signed to the practice squad or something. Aaron Rowe.
He wants the Pats to wade into the New Jersey paper airplanes, go through them like crap through a goose, guys. Nonetheless, I'm with the team whether they win or lose because I'm a real fan. Thanks, guys. And Pats, give them hell Sunday. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Hoorah. Hoorah.
Oh.
What?
That's...
Oh, it's a Marine.
Yeah. It's hoorah.
Did you say Happy New Year's to all our Jewish friends?
I did not. We should
wish them a peaceful
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
We should point that out. There's no fantasy lowdown portion of the show this week because B-Lo is observing.
Now, what does that entail for him?
It's a good question. I'll have to ask him. He's coming on the trip with us this weekend.
Aren't you the worldly cultured one on this show?
Yes.
You're showing your lack of it right now.
But I'm not Jewish, and I don't know the particulars
of what
they do.
Some of your best friends are Jewish, no?
Yes, that's correct.
What kind of a friend are you if you don't know what they do when they're Jewish?
I'll find out more this weekend.
Friendships are one way with you, aren't they?
No, they're not.
Let me finish. So B-Lo may not be here to do the fantasy lowdown, but we still will have fantasy talk for the first hour of
Strippers
program.
Is coming in?
No.
Oh.
It's going to be Pete and his friend Poker Mike, who is a fantasy expert, taking your questions.
Talking fantasies with Poker Mike. You know what I'm saying there?
Should get him together with Fred. What is it? Fred the Spread?
Fred the Spread.
Yes. Not that. Right. Not those kind of fantasies. Fantasy football, Andy. Thank you very much.
Poker from Banger?
No further questions.
From Banger, Maine. Poker from Banger. Gene in Daytona. Prediction. Eric, Paul, and Andy. Patriots 31, Raiders 19.
I think that's
that
a plausible
seems to be
score.
A little bit more in line with what you guys were saying.
38-21, 31-19, same.
Maybe they miss a two-point conversion. They have
a lot of field goals.
Yeah, a safety. Maybe an intentional safety. Who knows?
I can actually believe more the intentional safety than the safety.
Yeah.
You are just a negative, negative little man.
John in South Carolina, guys.
Guys,
I'm catching back up on some episodes because while the iPad version of the app is wonderful, the iPhone streaming app now stinks.
Why?
I don't know.
No, the new one is fine.
When you guys complained about the fine on the Chargers player that hit Brady, that was
Garay, despite Paul saying
right.
LaBoy.
Antonio Garay. LaBoy was in the area, wasn't he, though? He was also.
No, it was Antonio Garay.
He was the wrong answer.
I didn't change and ask PFW because I just assumed it was right. Bad call by me.
All right. He says we were missing.
Thanks for Andy pointing it out to everybody.
We were missing a few things on that play. One, the Chargers hit Brady below the knees four times in that game. Two, each time they hit below the knees, they held onto his legs and rolled around on the ground.
It's not always illegal to do that. The one that Garay did was, I thought, illegal.
Right. Three, there was no call against them in the game.
Right.
Well, that's what we're complaining about.
That's what we're complaining about.
Four, if Brady does not get calls for the Brady rule, can we stop calling it the Brady rule? No, because that's what it was originally called.
They didn't put it in when Carson Palmer ruptured his ACL.
Lastly,
put it in when Brady ruptured his.
Lastly, and this is shot at one of our colleagues. Lastly, the postgame show is painful, but not because of Kevin's announcements. It's because of Adam Jones. He sounds like an ESPN guy. He does ESPN plugs.
Well, he's an painful. ESPN guy.
He doesn't have plugs, does he? Oh, he's talking about...
I see what you did. Yeah. Didn't say it was funny. I just saw what you did there.
The defense will improve. How can it not, he says. Well, we've seen it not
improve
before.
Well, they're 28th on third down, so they could get down to 32 where they were last year.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Pete's going to get mad. I said bad things about the team.
No. I expect it. You know.
Is this the worst defense of the Bill Belichick era?
It's week three. Talk to me in week 11.
Through three
it's
games.
Tell me the great defenses in the NFL.
There aren't any.
Green Bay?
There aren't any.
New Orleans?
There aren't any.
I rest my case. Talk to me
this
in week 11.
Oh, it's no further questions.
This one isn't competitive. This one is not competitive.
It's week
I don't care
three.
About great. It's if they just
three.
Got to competitive.
Show me week three.
Okay, show tell me why they're going to be competitive.
Who's competitive?
Plenty of competitive.
Who has the worst defense in the Patriots?
They've stopped teams on fourth down.
How many big plays?
A few.
They made one stop on fourth down. Don't give me they stopped Miami on fourth down. Miami threw it away. It was a terrible play call and a terrible throw.
They were 2-for-12 or 2-for-14 on third down, though, weren't they?
Well, you said fourth down.
And 4-for-5 on fourth down.
They went 4-for-5 on fourth down.
They made some plays. No one's saying they can't. Of course they need to improve.
This is the worst defense we've ever seen.
I don't know how you come to that conclusion.
I don't know. Teddy Bruschi agrees with me. Thank you.
Why do you come to these conclusions after week three? You sound like some
guy
who's never watched football before.
Teddy Bruschi did. Three games. No, I've watched.
It's not his job to do that.
Teddy Bruschi ever
done that? It's my job too, actually. But the difference is I have watched a lot of every game they've played in the last Belichick era. And this is the worst I've ever seen after any stretch. Bar none.
I disagree.
Okay, then tell me when.
I disagree.
2002.
No, you actually thought that, did the research, and said, Andy, you're right. They weren't as bad in 2002.
Numbers didn't back up my story.
Thank you.
No further
this
questions.
This is the worst defense we've ever seen
it's
played.
It's week three. It's week
I don't
three.
Care. They've had a week three every
argument. I don't know how you don't care.
Numbers
how do you
didn't
not
back
care?
Because
week three. Why do you overreact in
even
week three?
Even if they get better, they're well, starting at the worst they've ever started at.
I don't care.
Why
it's irrelevant to me. They
out of his temple.
They have a quarterback and an offense that can come overcome those kind of deficiencies.
Except when they play those juggernauts like the Bills.
Yeah, well, that's one game. You're gonna rely on one game?
In week
game?
Three.
You're gonna rely on one game?
No.
How the Packers look against New Orleans in week one? They should have lost that game. How's New
Orleans
look?
Whoa. Now we're comparing should have losses to actual losses.
Wait a minute.
No, hang on a second.
Why should they have lost the game? They're up 15 with 3 minutes left.
So Kansas City must be a great team because they played the Chargers last week to a 3-point game. So all of a sudden, Kansas City has solved their problems. They're a great team now. They're pretty good on defense. They held the Chargers to 20 points. It doesn't make any sense to talk like that after week three.
Wait a minute. What did the Patriots hold the Chargers to?
Let me ask you something.
24 or 21?
You think,
and I'm saying the Patriots defense sucks.
Are you one of those that falls into the trap because McFadden ran like crazy against the Jets and that's going to trend towards the Patriots? Are you one of those?
Well, he's been running crazy for the last year and a half if you've watched the league.
I know that.
We actually both think the Raiders are going to lose.
I'm a big fan of his.
Well, I'm actually not. I think he's soft, and I think if you hit him in the legs, he goes down like a ton of bricks.
This great Jet defense.
But for a year and a half. And the Jets defense not playing great. The first person to admit that is their defensive coordinator.
Here's the difference. The Jets defense is in shambles, and people in New York know it. Around here, we're in shambles, but everybody says, no, we got Tom Brady. We don't have to worry about it.
I'm not ready to say it's in shambles yet. It's too early of a sampling for any team, anybody.
But you can only go off what you've seen. Through 3 weeks, the Jets defense has played awful.
Look, agreed.
And the Patriots defense has played awful.
I don't panic after week three on any season. I've learned way too much. I've seen teams like Buffalo Bills before, the Denver Broncos start 6-0 and not make the playoffs.
But that's ridiculous. We're comparing it to the Patriots.
You're comparing also ran teams to a Super Bowl contender. They have the best odds to win the Super Bowl in football.
And it was a bad defense last year that we thought they brought in some talent to improve, and it has not shown up at all.
If anything,
guys have regressed.
Once again, you say it was a bad defense last year when the Jets allowed only 0.6 more points a game than the Patriots.
I don't care. Was it?
Well, you don't. Why don't you care?
So third down doesn't matter in this league, right?
Because the Jets didn't have an offense that bludgeoned everybody to death. That's why.
Go look up the third down conversions of how many of those third down conversions
32.
When they were up by two touchdowns or more. Go look that number up.
30. 32nd in the league.
They couldn't stop anybody.
In the second half.
Wait a minute. Time out. Is it not easier to play defense?
A game? Are you high?
The second half of the season, they allowed 11.3 points a game. Where is the bad defense? Oh, I'm sorry.
It was
on the field. I'm net yardage.
Wait a minute. Why can you go by the second half of last season, but we can't go by what we've seen this season?
Because it's three games, not eight.
As opposed to eight? What's the difference?
What's the difference?
It's a little sample. That's the same thing.
There's a big difference between
and by the way,
and why do we not count the last game of last season when they got 28 points. And in the second half, they could not get off the field.
I agree. Look,
it's a terrible defense, Pete. There is no argument.
It's
good.
It's not terrible. I didn't say it was great either. I said it's terrible.
This crossover with the Pete Sherbert show has brought the,
he'll tell you why the defense is good in the next 2 hours.
Unfortunate end. We're gonna bring things back down to a more cooler level with this last email from Ken Walter. Hey guys.
Cool levels.
After a close call in Miami, do you think the lack of depth at punter and holder will hurt this team? Happy New Year, Fred.
No, the lack of talent on defense will hurt the team.
Okay,
that's New Year, Pete.
That does it for this Patriots playbook. The next one will be on Tuesday. Nitpick Tuesday. John Rook will be back here up next. Pete Sherbert show, and you have a friend, Poker Mike. Is he from Bangor?
Yeah, Mike Cambria. He's a good guy. He's a real good.
Liquor in the front, poker in the rear.
Unbelievable. Go work on some radio.
All right, Pete Sherbert is up next.
He's a guy who goes like Seinfeld. How do I have respect for you?
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.
Yeah.